The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good afternoon. Get ready for Leadership Leverage with Dr. Robert Denker. No matter what role you play in leadership of your organization or business, you are sure to get helpful secrets that will improve that role. Now here's your host, Dr. Robert Denker.
Hello, good day, and welcome to Leadership Leverage. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Denker, and today on Leadership Leverage, we'll be exploring the topic of leadership from a very unique perspective. That is, we'll be discussing the truth about leadership in a very no-fads, heart-of-the-matter way. To help us navigate this journey today, our guest has the experience and knowledge to help all of us cut to the quick and learn the truth about leadership, that is. I'm referring to the popular and distinguished educator, author, and international consultant, Jim Kousis. Jim is the Dean's Executive Professor of Leadership at the Levi School of Business, Santa Clara University in California, and the co-author, along with Barry Posner, of the internationally award-winning and best-selling book, The Leadership Challenge, which I might add is now in its fourth edition, having sold over 2 million copies. Jim and Barry have co-authored over 30 other books in their prolific careers. The Wall Street Journal has named Jim as one of the 10 best executive educators in the U.S., and last year he was presented the Thought Leader Award by the Instructional Systems Association. In addition, he is listed as one of HR's most influential international thinkers and ranked by Leadership Excellence Magazine as number 16 on its list of top 100 thought leaders. His latest best-selling book, also co-authored with Barry, is entitled The Truth About Leadership, The No Fads, Heart of the Matter Facts You Need to Know. And this book is the focus of our dialogue today. I also want to point out that this book is based on 30 years of research and gets directly at the heart of what leaders need to know to be effective. Given that, let's find out more. Jim, welcome to Leadership Leverage.
Rob, thank you very much. It's just a delight to be with you today.
Well, and I'm delighted to have you because you, along with Barry Posner, have done so much of a benefit to this whole, what I'll call, profession of leadership. I mean, you've been at this now, researching and writing about this topic for some 30 years. And so it leads me, because of that long of a time, what was the impetus for you to write this book at this point in your career? And I ask that because the title of the book, which again is The Truth About Leadership, to me suggests a need to dispel something. And I'm wondering if I'm right. I mean, is this indeed the case? And if it is, what needs to be dispelled?
Rob, I think there is. You know, in the subtitle of the book, it's the No Fads, Heart of the Matter Facts You Need to Know. And we think that leadership, like so many other topics these days, falls victim to the latest fads, the latest techniques, the things that we believe are going to solve the problems in this instant gratification world.
I agree.
But, yeah, it is endemic everywhere. And whether it's diets or leadership, we're looking for something that, you know, we can, a pill we can take. I think most of our clients, if they could, would do leadership development through an injection if we could manage it. But
right.
After careful examination of the evidence, we discovered that there were just some fundamentals that we felt people need to be reminded of. And so when we first started, we were thinking we'd aim this book to millennials. And so we began to interview a number of people of that generation, men and women, who were in the early stages of their careers or the latter part of college, and we asked them to imagine a scenario that, imagine a leader walked into this room. What questions would you most want to ask this person? And we collected those questions, and something surprising happened.
What was that?
There weren't any differences between the questions they wanted answered and the questions their brothers and older brothers and sisters might want answered, or their aunts and uncles, their parents might have wanted answers to. So we thought that we should take another direction. And then I was on a panel with Ken Blanchard, another leadership author of many books. Most of those listening are probably familiar with Ken. And I was answering a question from an audience member, and I was saying something like, I don't know what you call something that's been the same for 25 years, but, and before I could finish my sentence, Ken interrupted and said, I'd call it the truth.
Oh, interesting comment.
And yeah, and I thought, well, that's very revealing. If Ken Blanchard thinks that something is the truth, then maybe we should pay attention. And Barry and I began to explore then the data that you so graciously referred to in your introduction, and we discovered that there are some things that have just remained the same over 30 years of our research, and we predict will be the same 30 years from now. And we wanted to write about what those truths were.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's an interesting and, to me, a refreshing and positive way to look at these leadership concepts, because I've heard them referred to in some negative ways, like, you know, there's really nothing new, this is just old wine and new bottles, which in a way has a negative connotation to it, but I like this aspect of when they've been around a long time, then they really become a truth.
They're just fundamentals. As in any skill, there are certain fundamentals you have to learn, whether you are an expert level or whether you're a novice. You have to learn certain fundamentals in order to perform that task, and leadership is the same.
And Jim, in your book, you delineate 10 of these fundamental truths about leadership. I wonder if you could briefly talk us through those.
Sure, be glad to. The first truth comes from the observations, perhaps an obvious one to start, but on reflection requires a lot of personal engagement, and that is that you make a difference. Leadership begins with a belief in yourself, and you have to believe that you matter, that you can have an impact and an influence on other people. But your belief in yourself is not enough. Other people have to believe in you too. And the second truth that follows from that then is that credibility is the foundation. And one of the things we found over all these years is that credibility remains the fundamental foundation of leadership. The third is
that value. And I would think that's important, particularly because that's what allows others to follow you.
Absolutely. If people don't believe in you, they're not going to willingly follow you.
Right.
If they don't believe in the messenger, they're not going to believe the message.
Okay.
Well, and what follows from that, Rob, is that values drive commitment. The truth is that values drive commitment. You have to know and understand what you value, what you believe in, so that you can articulate that clearly to other people. People want to know that from you. In fact, one of the questions when we asked both young leaders and older, more experienced leaders what they wanted to ask of a leader, the number one question people wanted answered was, what do you stand for? What do you believe in?
Sure.
The fourth is a corollary of that. It's about your long-term beliefs. It's focusing on the future sets leaders apart. You have to have a vision of the future. You have to have a sense of direction. You have to know where you're taking people for them to want to follow you. The fifth is that you can't do it alone. There is no leader who ever got anything extraordinary done by him or herself. The sixth truth is that trust rules. Trust rules not only your personal credibility, trust rules teamwork, trust rules engagement, trust rules all relationships. And we have to make sure that we build trust among our team members and trust in ourselves. The seventh truth is that challenge is the crucible for greatness. Again, no extraordinary achievement happened by keeping things the same. Challenge is what drives innovation, it drives creativity, it is what provides the experience to produce greatness. And the eighth truth is that you either lead by example or you don't lead at all.
And Jim, is that common, the common slogan is, do you walk the talk? Is that
walk the talk, practice what you preach,
mm-hmm.
put your money where your mouth is.
Okay.
Your values and actions are consistent. And the ninth is that the best leaders are the best learners. One of the things that we often get asked is, can leadership, is, you know, leadership born or made, or leaders born or made? And we always say, well, you know, we've never met a leader who wasn't born.
Right.
That's sort of obvious.
Right. Yeah.
It's not whether you're born or not. It's what you do with what you have before you die that matters. And what do you do with your skills and abilities? And we have found that leadership can be learned over time, and that, in fact, the best leaders are the best learners. And lastly, the tenth truth, though not necessarily last in importance, but last in how we talk about it, is that leadership is an affair of the heart.
And what do you mean by that?
That leadership, that the leaders are passionate and caring. They're individuals who have their constituents in their hearts. They have their business, their service in their hearts. And they have their own heart in what they do. You can't get anything extraordinary done if you don't care passionately about it.
Okay. And I want to ask you, too, that in your writings you advanced this idea of having a focus on values, commitment, and trust as being the key ingredients that can help one become a successful leader. And I'm wondering if you can share your insights into the role that each of those play in what I'll call this dynamic equation.
Well, all of this began, Rob, when we asked people, this again going back 30 years, we asked a fundamental question. And that question is very simple. We asked people to tell us what they looked for and admired in their leaders, in people whose direction they would willingly follow, with the key word being willingly. And we collected about 125 or so attributes. We, over time, reduced that down to 20 key attributes, and then we asked people to select from those 27 that they most looked for and admire.
Okay.
And over time, four of those characteristics, and only four, have remained at the top of the list for that entire time, not only in the United States, but globally.
That's
interesting. That is actually the origin of the comment. When I made that comment to this group of people, and Ken said I'd call it the truth. These are the four things that he said you should call the truth.
And Jim, I want you to hold that thought, because we need to take a commercial break and pay our sponsors. And then when we come back, let's talk about those, because the listeners want to hear that. You're listening to Leadership Leverage here on Voice America Business. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Denker, and today we're talking about the truth about leadership. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Since the year 2000, RD and Partners have been helping client organizations across North America and Europe achieve breakthrough performance by providing practical solutions for talent identification, talent development, and improved team performance. Our services include executive coaching and onboarding, sales selection tools validated to predict sales success, web-based pre-employment and development assessments for executive, managerial, supervisory, and professional positions, talent reviews and team coaching, as well as competency modeling, including web-based custom 360 surveys. At RD and Partners, we don't arrive with ready-made solutions. Our service offerings have to fit the context of every aspect of your company. Its markets, competitors, strategy, and culture. Please contact us today at rdpusa.com or by calling 888-600-7457. We look forward to helping you be successful by building and retaining your high-performance talent.
Entrepreneurial Insights is your weekly excursion into the world of business ownership. Presented by Sunbelt Business Brokers, the leading business brokerage and intermediary firm in the world, Entrepreneurial Insights will examine critical issues that impact both existing and prospective business owners. If you own or want to own a small business, listen for Entrepreneurial Insights with John Davies, Pino Bacinello, and Matt Ottaway, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Leadership Leverage with your host, Dr. Robert Danker. If you have a question or comment about today's program for Dr. Danker or his guests, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or if you prefer, send an email to info@rdpusa.com. Now back to Leadership Leverage.
Welcome back to Leadership Leverage. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Danker. And today on Leadership Leverage, we're talking with Jim Koussis about his best-selling book entitled The Truth About Leadership. Jim, before we went on commercial break, you were talking about the four characteristics that your research has indicated remains the same for the past 30 years. And I wonder if you could define that and talk more about that.
Absolutely, Rob. The four qualities that people say they look for and admire in a leader and that have remained the same over the last 4 years globally are, first of all, honest, secondly, forward-looking, thirdly, competent, and fourth, inspiring. And while the order of those may have changed slightly and may vary from one country to another, those four and only those four are the ones that people universally look for. Now, individually, they're useful, but when you look at them together, what they add up to are what researchers call source credibility. Three of them do. There's one that remains different and differentiates leaders from other credible people, and we can come back to later, but three of them, honest, competent, and inspiring, add up to what researchers call source credibility. And what that led us to is a realization that the truth is that credibility is the foundation of leadership. If you don't believe in the messenger, as we said earlier, mm-hmm. you won't believe the message.
Oh, sure. Right. And then you can't be a follower.
I ask you, Rob, what is credibility behaviorally? You know, how do you know it when you see it?
Well, that is a great question. I think part of it is consistency in a leader. Mm. In other words, that they do what they said that they would do.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, and that's what people said to us when we asked that question. We asked them, so what is credibility behaviorally? How would you know it when you see it, when it walks in the room? What's it look like? What are
right.
people doing? And it was they followed through on their promises. They did what they said they would do. You know, DWYSYWD for short, DWYSYWD. What you say you will do became sort of the acronym and the poster on the wall. And that has two fundamental aspects to it. The first is the say part. You got to have something to say. Mm-hmm. And the second is the do part. You've got to put those words into action. So that leads to values. The clarity of values drives the level of commitment you're going to have to anything. You know, Ron Sugar was a person that we had some opportunity to work with. He was CEO and chairman of Northrop Grumman at the time we worked with him, Barry.
Oh, okay, sure.
One seminar that we did with him, he walked into the room, and there was a piano in this ballroom, and we didn't pay any attention to the piano. We thought maybe it was left over from an event the day before, and
right.
they just hadn't taken it out of the ballroom. But instead, he walked over to the piano, sat down on the bench, and played some very, very beautiful music for 3 or 4 minutes, and then turned around on the bench at the piano and looked at the 80 or so executives from Northrop Grumman in the room who were participating in this seminar, and he said, you know why I started by playing the piano?
What did they say?
You know, no one had any idea. So he said to them, you know, I started by playing the piano because I wanted you to know something more about me than just my title and my background. Like, I have a PhD in engineering, for example, and then I'm chairman and CEO. He said, leadership is personal. Mm. Do the people you know what you care about, what you value, what you believe in, and why they ought to be following you?
And I think, and give us your opinion and experience, but a lot of leaders don't become personal.
They don't become personal. They don't disclose who they are. They don't reveal a lot about themselves. And yet, we know that those leaders who are better known, whose values are clear,
right,
who are more transparent, are more trusted than those who aren't. It's just a simple human dynamic. Do you trust people more whom you know or you don't know? There may be people you know really well you don't trust much at all, but for the most part, the majority of us trust more people we know. So one of the things that he advised his leaders to do, and we advise as well, is that you have to be clear about what you value and believe in. And it turns out that values drive commitment. The clearer you are about your personal values, and the clearer you are about the organizational values, and the more aligned you see that they are with your personal values, the more likely it is that you will be committed to the organization.
And Jim, a question on that. If leaders that are listening in are probably saying, well, how do I begin that dialogue with my people? What advice do you have for them?
Well, I think the first part of the process is we have to begin that dialogue with ourselves. And there are lots of values clarifications process. One of the techniques we use is a simple set of values cards. Mm-hmm. We have people sort those cards, and then we ask them to prioritize those so that they come up with a list of their core five values that drive decisions and actions at work. Then we suggest that they take that same deck or that same list or whatever extra values clarification exercise they want to use and do that with their teams, have everyone on their team share those, and then look not only at the uniquenesses but also at the commonalities. And then to begin to work at those tensions where there might be some disagreement, because no organization can run by a set of 20 or 30 different values. There have to be some shared values that drive decisions and actions on everyone's part.
Right.
And while we can have our own unique ones in other aspects of what we do, when we're at work, there have to be some fundamental values that we all share. And that's when in our research, what we found is when people are highly clear about their own and highly clear about the organization's values, they're the most committed.
And I would think so. So it's really, again, starting with yourself, getting clarity, and then matching that up with the organizations. And hopefully there's more of an alignment than a misalignment.
Yes, absolutely. And I would also recommend that at the end of every day, people do what Lillis Brown, one of the people we interviewed, does every day as a leader. At the end of the day, she asks herself, what did I do today that was a demonstration of what I hold near and dear to me? What are the actions that I took? What might I have done, even inadvertently, that may have sent the signal that I wasn't committed? And what can I do tomorrow to make sure that I demonstrate my commitment to these values? It's just a little audit at the end of every day that can keep us aware and aligned with the fundamental shared values that drive decisions and actions.
And those are some really powerful questions.
Yes. Any way in which we can do that kind of a daily audit, daily review, is just a great reminder. And making a habit like that on a daily basis helps us to become more consistent.
Well, it does. It keeps one on point. It keeps one focused. And it reinforces really what our core beliefs are. Jim, from your experience, what are you seeing out there, given today's current business climate, when you look at these four characteristics? Is there any one that's particularly more challenging than the other for a leader, given what we're seeing out here economically?
Well, one of the things that you mentioned in your question had to do with trust. And that is one of the trustworthiness is one of the key ingredients of credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I would say that it's building and sustaining that trust that is the toughest right now. We've tracked trust in leaders for over 30 years. And I can tell you that the low point of trust in leaders and confidence in leaders was 2008, 2009. We started to see leaders and major institutions climb out of that that valley a little bit in 2010, but we're still well below where we need to be. The trust and credibility gap has to be closed in order for us to sustain any kind of growth. People just aren't going to be fully committed,
right,
aren't going to take risks, aren't going to be innovative and creative in a climate where they don't trust and don't have confidence in their leaders.
And absolutely. Is part of that due to some of the executive compensation plans that are out there today, which clearly, you know, the profitability of organizations generally is at an all-time high. So those at the top, quite honestly, are doing quite well.
Yeah, it certainly influences particularly Wall Street and the negative negative image that people, a lot of people have, particularly in, you know, the, not necessarily at the executive ranks, but in the, you know, middle ranks and in the front line have of executives, that they see people earning so much money, particularly in comparison to themselves, and in an economy where they're cutting wages, cutting
right
work, or laying people off, downsizing their organizations. It's hard for them. Like, I remember a story. In fact, Rob, I was writing in a cab from the hotel to the airport in Michigan. It was quite a long ride,
mm-hmm.
And the driver told me that he was a former GM assembly line worker, and that
okay.
he and his family had worked there for years. And that, you know, he was laid off a couple of years back. This was last year. And then he said, you know, I don't know how it is that General Motors could lose all that money and then this year report a profit. Mm. He said they must have been hiding the money.
Oh, interesting. Sure.
And he may have had his figures wrong. He used some pretty high numbers, $37 billion and $3 billion. And whether he was accurate in the numbers or not is irrelevant. It was the feeling that he had that the organization wasn't telling him the truth.
That's right. That, in a sense, he was duped.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He was duped. Right. Interesting. Jim, we need to take another commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about the issue of leaders being learners. So let's do that. We'll be right back. You're listening to Leadership Leverage here on Voice America Business.
Always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now toll free 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Get ready for Straight Talk Live with Tanya Walker. From the worlds of business, entertainment, health, and politics, enjoy intimate interviews and spirited roundtable discussions with Tanya's guest experts and friends. Tanya may be best known for her Emmy-nominated role as Alex from ABC TV's One Life to Live, but she's also an award-winning film and Broadway producer with a passion for straight, honest journalism. So don't miss Straight Talk Live with Tanya Walker, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
Since the year 2000, RDN Partners have been helping client organizations across North America and Europe achieve breakthrough performance by providing practical solutions for talent identification, talent development, and improved team performance. Our services include executive coaching and onboarding, sales selection tools validated to predict sales success, web-based pre-employment and development assessments for executive, managerial, supervisory and professional positions, talent reviews and team coaching, as well as competency modeling, including web-based custom 360 surveys. At RDN Partners, we don't arrive with ready-made solutions. Our service offerings have to fit the context of every aspect of your company. its markets, competitors, strategy, and culture. Please contact us today at rdpusa.com or by calling 888-600-7457. We look forward to helping you be successful by building and retaining your high-performance talent.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Listening to Leadership Leverage with your host, Dr. Robert Danker. If you have a question or comment about today's program for Dr. Danker or his guests, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or if you prefer, send an email to info@rdpusa.com. Now back to Leadership Leverage.
Welcome back to Leadership Leverage. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Danker, and today on Leadership Leverage, we're talking with Jim Koussis, the author of the best-selling book, The Truth About Leadership. Jim, before we went on a commercial break, I wanted you to talk more about what you speak really directly about in your book, that the best leaders are the best learners. And so I wonder if you could help myself and the listeners understand, what does an active learner look like? That is, how do you know one when you see one?
Rob, one of the things we found in our research is those leaders who engage more in learning are more effective as leaders, meaning their constituents see them as more effective, not just that they see themselves as more effective.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that look like? Well, first, they spend more time in learning activities. Literally, they engage in learning for more hours a day than other people who score lower on leadership effectiveness. Now, that doesn't mean that they're doing one type of learning. That could be reading. It could be talking with others. It could be trying out something new and then getting some feedback about how they did. It could be on just reflecting on their actions during the day.
Sure.
And how that served them and what they can learn from that experience. They ask more questions. They don't just talk. They ask questions and they listen.
Mm-hmm.
They don't assume they know everything, and rather they like to listen to what other people have to say. So they ask for input. They aren't afraid to admit mistakes, and they are more likely to ask other people for feedback.
Okay.
Because they know that is the breakfast of champions, that when you ask for feedback and you get positive or negative feedback, then you know, one, am I on the right path and doing the right thing, and what do I need to improve so that I can do even better? And they say thank you when they get that feedback. And they also are very involved and engaged in developing other leaders so that they can improve. They are in trying to teach others what they know. In that sense, teaching is also a process of learning. So you have to know the material in order to teach it to other people. So those are just some of the behaviors that we see among effective leaders as learners.
And again, as you said, it's that perception for those that they lead that's really important here as well.
Yes.
That they see the leader as someone who's willing to ask questions, to involve them, in a sense, give them a voice.
Absolutely. And when you see your leader engaging in learning activities, you're more likely to do that. When you see your leader willing to admit mistakes, you're more likely to do that. So it develops a climate in which learning is valued.
Interesting. And, of course, you mentioned, too, and I wanted to come back to it, that these folks that are leaders who are active learners take the time to develop others. Are you seeing in the consulting work that you do across the globe in either the performance appraisal systems or just in the recognition of rewards, that people are getting rewarded for that? Or is that something that still really isn't that highlighted?
Interestingly enough, Rob, we are seeing more of an emphasis on learning now, more in the last year or so.
Really?
Than we did in the previous few years. I think during this recession, when people were focused on just rationalizing the organization and restoring profitability. There wasn't much of a focus at all. It was a pretty bleak period of time in terms of development. But more recently, particularly in, I'd say, in the last 6 months or so, we've seen a much greater emphasis, and we expect to see even more. Leaders know that they can't continue to put off the development of the next generation of leaders, as well as their own development for indefinitely without doing damage to the organization.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and I do hope that that certainly continues. You know, I want to shift topics a little bit here because, and this is just my opinion, want to see where you are on this. To me, it appears that so much of what's written about leadership today is kind of skewed downward. That is, the focus has much to do about managing others and developing followership, which is important. I'm not trying to take the significance of that away, but there doesn't seem to be a lot written about how one manages upward. And I wondered what your thoughts were here.
Mm-hmm. Well, the notion that leadership is about up-down, top-bottom, boss-subordinate is really a reflection of how we're trapped in an old model, an old hierarchical model. One of my favorite things to do, Rob, is to look up words in the dictionary. I may be the only one who bought himself the Oxford English Dictionary for Christmas, the 20-volume set myself, just because I love looking up words. And so I looked up the word hierarchy at one time when Barry and I were working on one of our books, and I learned that the origin of the word hierarchy comes from heros, and heros from the Greek means priest. And it just dawned on me how the model we have in our heads, the model that we call a hierarchical model, is one based upon a priesthood. Well, and that, of course, only the Pope talks to God, you know. And so, at least metaphorically, we have this image of this kind of organization. And obviously, therefore, those on the bottom are of lesser knowledge, lesser wisdom, given that. That model is just outdated. It doesn't fit anymore with a highly networked world. Leadership is really not about top-down or boss-subordinate. Leaders operate in a 360-degree world. And when even right now, what's happening in Egypt is a reflection of how people are rebelling against that kind of a world. And interestingly enough, what do those in control try to do? They control the networking technology that allows people to communicate with each other.
Well, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And so we see the power of that, and yet how those who still operate in a command and control world try to control that, and it can't be done indefinitely. Eventually, it will fall apart. Now, when Barry and I did our second edition of Leadership Challenge, we noticed how our hierarchical language was really embedded in what we did, and we didn't even realize it. It is just so second nature. So we made a conscious effort to change the words we use from boss subordinate to leader constituent, and try to make sure that we didn't reinforce this as a framework for leaders. Leaders, then, are individuals who have constituents, and that can work in all directions. You can be a leader of a peer. You can be a leader of someone who is, quote, above you, and you can be a leader of someone who is a direct report. You can be a leader of an external constituency, because these same five practices of exemplary leadership apply in all directions.
Yeah, I would think so. And I think that's an interesting way to look at leadership and break away from the traditional, as you said, that military model or what's also been called the medical model, and that's happening to change there too in the doctor-patient relationship, particularly with the advent of technology and patients able to look up on the internet, you know, symptoms and remedies of their own maladies, whatever they are. So it's interesting that that's changing. But I wondered how your thoughts were about this issue of managing up, and I think you've answered that by really looking at the traditional boss as a constituent, but paying attention to them as well, I think.
Absolutely. You know, Charlene Lee, in her most recent book, Open Leadership, talks directly about the impact of social networking technologies on leadership and how leaders are going to have to be more open because people in your organization now have significantly more information because of the access to the internet about how the organization is doing than they used to. And that knowledge that they have is something that's going to give them a lot more power than they may have once had in an old top-down command-control environment.
I agree with you as well. But, you know, ironically, what I sometimes find when I go into organizations is that the employees don't have access to a lot of the internet. You know,
well, maybe not at work, but they
right.
do at home.
Right. Right, so it almost perpetuates more of the 24/7, 365 work attitude. So maybe that'll change as well as we look into the future. You know, thinking of senior management, and we've been talking about senior leaders here just in the last dialogue, is there some key competencies that set senior leaders apart from what I would call individual contributors?
Yeah. Well, the quality that differentiates any leader, whether that person is senior or not, is the ability to be forward-looking. The truth is that focusing on the future sets leaders apart. And that factor grows in importance, however, as one moves from a role of individual contributor to supervisor to middle-level manager to senior executive. This is a place where it does differentiate by, if you will, hierarchical level in an organization. College students, for example, value forward-looking significantly less than middle managers who value it less than C-suite executives. And that's simply because as you move to more senior levels in organizations, you become more responsible for longer-term strategies and programs that are going to impact the future of the organization. If you're frontline, it's maybe, you know, if you think about your longest-term project,
sure,
maybe 3 months. But if you are a middle-level manager, it might be 3 years. And if you're a senior executive, it could be 15, 20, 25 years. So being forward-looking and focusing on the future is the one practice, the one quality and set of practices that differentiates leaders from individual contributors.
And Jim, we've got about 1 minute before we have to take a commercial break, but for those listeners out there who are wanting to be more long-term in their leadership competency, what might be a step that they can take?
Well, for more information about what we're doing, I invite people to go to our website, leadershipchallenge.com, and just take a look at our resources. But I think the first step in that direction is really the first one we talked about earlier. The first truth is you got to believe in yourself. You got to believe that you can make a difference and have an impact. And then gather some data about how you're now doing, do some kind of assessment, and then begin to set some goals for yourself. Participate in programs that will help you develop. And perhaps after the break, we can talk a little bit more about that.
Very good. And we'll do just that. You're listening to Leadership Leverage here on Voice America Business. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Denker. And today our guest is Jim Koussis, and we're talking about his latest book, The Truth About Leadership. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
Music.
Are you ready to grow your business? Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show with your coach, Rick Corrado. This entertaining talk radio program will bring you the tools to help increase your business. You'll learn sales success, time management, lead generation, business development, life balance, and much more. Rick Corrado is here to help you take your business to the next level. Listen for the Independent Business Owner Show, heard live every Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Network.
Since the year 2000, our RDN partners have been helping client organizations across North America and Europe achieve breakthrough performance by providing practical solutions for talent identification, talent development, and improved team performance. Our services include executive coaching and onboarding, sales selection tools validated to predict sales success, web-based pre-employment and development assessments for executive, managerial, supervisory, and professional positions, talent reviews and team coaching, as well as competency modeling, including web-based custom 360 surveys. At RD and Partners, we don't arrive with ready-made solutions. Our service offerings have to fit the context of every aspect of your company, its markets, competitors, strategy, and culture. Please contact us today at rdpusa.com or by calling 888-600-7457. We look forward to helping you be successful by building and retaining your high-performance talent.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Listening to Leadership Leverage with your host, Dr. Robert Danker. If you have a question or comment about today's program for Dr. Danker or his guests, please call 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or if you prefer, send an email to info@rdpusa.com. Now back to Leadership Leverage.
Welcome back to Leadership Leverage. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Danker, and today on Leadership Leverage, we've been talking with Jim Kousis, whose best-selling book entitled The Truth About Leadership has been the focus of our dialogue today. Jim, when we get now into the last segment of our show, I wanted in particular to ask you about the last chapter in this marvelous book, which you entitled Leadership is an Affair of the Heart. And I wonder if you can elaborate on this for our listeners.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the most memorable interviews I ever did, Rob, was with John Stanford. John Stanford, at the time, was head of Military Traffic Management Command for the U.S. Army. He was a brigadier general.
Okay.
And I asked him, as I asked other leaders, if he could tell us a little bit about how he would develop leaders for the future.
Mm-hmm.
His answer, in a sense, to your last question before we took a break. So I asked him that, and he said to me the following. He said, when anyone asks me that question, I tell them I have the secret to success in life.
Really?
I was really paying attention at that point, I'll tell you.
And we are, too.
Yeah. And so he said, I was making sure the recorder was working. I was making sure I was going to write down this word for word. And he said, the secret to success is stay in love. Staying in love gives you the fire to really ignite other people, to see inside other people, to have a greater desire to get things done than other people. A person who is not in love, he said, doesn't really feel the kind of excitement that helps them to get ahead and lead others and to achieve. I don't know any other fire, any other thing in life that is more positive and exhilarating a feeling than love is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, who would have thought a military commander would have answered that question in that way?
Absolutely. I mean, I just did not expect to hear this from a general in the United States Army.
Yeah.
And yet, when I reflected on what he had to say, it was very evident that the people who, when they were talking about their personal best leadership, mm-hmm. experiences, those people who told us those stories, to them at that time and to all the leaders when they're doing their best, leadership is definitely not an affair of the head. Leadership is an affair of the heart. You have to put your heart in the business, in the organization, and you have to put that organization in your heart. You have to genuinely care about people. You have to care about the purpose and those who do you the honor of using your products and services. You know, the truth is that the most effective leaders demonstrate more positive emotion and more caring than do those who are negative and abusive. The most effective leaders are those who demonstrate more positive emotion and caring.
So, Jim, in your experience, contemporary leaders today, or if you prefer, maybe leaders out of history that you feel exemplify this?
Well, the people that we've had the most opportunity to interview have been those individuals who are more in the middle ranks, or like John, people who may be in senior ranks but people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think most of us just have to imagine someone with whom we've worked who really exemplifies that sense of enthusiasm and passion for their work, that positivity. It might have been a coach, it might have been a family member, it might have been a business leader, but who are those people that demonstrate that level of care and enthusiasm and model our behavior after them, and not so much after, you know, I think we can all think of the examples of the stereotypical abusive bad boss who...
Oh, sure.
You know, the cartoonish characters on The Office on TV, you know, that... So they make us laugh, or sometimes they make us mad, but they're not necessarily representative of those who are the good bosses, the best bosses. And one of the things we did in our research, Rob, is we asked people to describe a leader that they admire, they look up to, one that they've learned from. And I can tell you, to a person, every one of those individuals talked about someone who deeply cared for them, cared about them, and who really had a lot of heart.
And Jim, were those people found in organizations, or were they indeed coaches of sports teams or teachers?
It varies.
Okay.
For young people, the most important leader role model, those under 30, is their a family member, followed
okay.
by a teacher or a coach, and then followed by a community leader. Those who are working professionals, average age over 30 years old, have family member is first on their most admired leader list, followed by a manager at work, usually somebody with whom they've worked, not a famous leader at work, but mm-hmm. someone that they've known, someone that they've worked with. So, yes, they tend to be closer to home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of the media attention to very famous people, we get this idea that the best leaders are those who get the most visibility and attention on TV. Not necessarily so. You know, they don't necessarily make the most admired leader list. Some might,
mm-hmm.
some do, but they don't represent when the majority of people tell us about their most admired leaders. They don't. Those famous leaders don't necessarily represent role models for the general public.
Interesting. Jim, we've got about 2 minutes left in the program, and I wanted to come back to a statement you made in the earlier part of the program where you talked about you and your co-author, Barry Posner, when you began to write this book, you wanted to write it for millennials. And to that point, I just want to use that as a springboard to ask you, what advice do you have for those young leaders or folks that are just emerging as leaders in companies today? Those that are going to really be the future of leadership, what advice do you have for them?
Well, the first thing I remind them of is that, first and foremost, you have to always remember that the truth is you can't do it alone. You know, Bill Flanagan, when we asked him to write his personal best leadership experience, at the time was vice president of a manufacturing company, and he told us he couldn't write a personal best leadership experience. We asked him why. He had to have done some things that made him the person he was today, and he said, well, it wasn't that I haven't accomplished a lot, it's just that it wasn't my personal best, it was our personal best, it wasn't me, it was us.
Wow.
You can't do it alone should be your mantra. You know, what's your job anyway? To improve performance, keep it the same, or make it worse?
Yeah.
It's to make it better, to improve it.
And
all your actions need to follow.
What a great piece of advice to give to the young leaders out there, that you can't do it alone. It certainly is a collective effort. Jim, I want to thank you for being on the show today. We'd like to have you back because I know there's so much more that you can impart about this topic of leadership. To all our listeners, I want to thank you for being part of the program today. And until next time, I'm your host, Dr. Robert Denker, and the doctor is out.
Thank you again for tuning in to Leadership Leverage this afternoon. Please tune in again next Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Leadership Leverage with Dr. Robert Denker on the Voice America Business Channel.